Are you someone who journals? I have seasons where I journal avidly and seasons where it's less so. Now, whether you are a journaler or not, I want to invite you to do a little bit of journaling. And the reason for that is that as I began to write the talk for today, it was clear that there were several questions popping up. And so as those questions popped up, I began to wonder, if we are to seriously consider what it is to be a disciple of Jesus and to map that onto our own lives, for that to have an impact, for that to shape us and form us, then maybe spending some time individually considering what being a disciple looks like was worth thinking about outside of the church setting. The church service setting, perhaps I should say, the Sunday morning church service setting. And so I want to invite you to grab your notebook or a scrap of paper from your bag or open a new note on your phone. And I'd like to invite you to jot down some or all of the questions I'm going to offer this morning. And then over the next week or two, to prayerfully consider before the Lord your honest response to these questions. And I'm going to encourage you to maybe answer them a few times, because often when we answer questions repeatedly, we begin to strip back some of the layers and we begin to get to a deeper, more intimate, more heart place within ourselves and within our responses. So that would be my encouragement to you. So before Easter, we were doing our Living the Life discipleship series. We've paused for Easter. We've had Easter Sunday. The schools have been off. We've had a couple of one-off talks from Tara and Dave, still on the theme of discipleship. And today, it's my job to sum up. Ola's asked me to come back and to sum up the discipleship Living the Life series. So this is what we've been looking at before Easter. And I'm going to turn around because I haven't got this slide printed out. That's a bit too small for my eyesight. So I'm just going to turn around as we go. So this is what we've been looking at, okay? So we've been looking at following him, abiding in him. And that's include repent and believe, surrender and follow, and obedience. We've looked at being changed by him. He will transform us into his likeness, bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and loving people well. We've looked at going with him. So being fishers of people, be in love. That's our church vision. Be in love. Connecting over meals and gathering around tables, sharing the gospel, making disciples. And Ollie talked about relational discipleship. Hurry and busyness being the great enemy of the souls. And discipleship being done best in relationship. And then the launch of the Safar journey, discipleship journey tool. I don't want to call it a program. It's not a program. It's a relationship journey together. So that's where we've been, okay? So I'm going to try and sum up a little bit of that this morning, okay? So as we've already seen, one of the key verses that this series has been underpinned by, the other verse is 1 John 4:19, which says, and I think that's going to come up on the slide, thank you, Ben, we love because he first loved us. And then Matthew 4:19, come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And this Matthew 4:19 verse is Jesus' invitation to us to disciple under him, to be his apprentice. And within these verses, we see that Jesus shows us what it means to be a disciple, to follow him, stay close to him, abide with him, to be changed and transformed by him. I will make you, Jesus says, and then to go and be fishers of people, to make disciples. And so, as I say, we're going to draw this service to a close, and the whole discipleship theme, I suppose, we are going to continue with for the year, but this particular series we're going to draw to a close. And as we do so, we're going to just think about the practicing apprentice. So, a book recommendation. So this is a very new book, as in it's only been out a few months. John Mark Comer, Practicing the Way, Be With Jesus, Become Like Him, Do As He Did. This book is fantastic. It's fantastic. So it's not too thick. So that's always a bonus when I'm looking at books. This book, John Mark Comer's work, really gets to the heart of what we as a church are trying to lean into as disciples of Jesus, of being as apprentices of Jesus. It really gets to the heart of it. So I would recommend that. And most of what I'm going to say today is based on some of this stuff. This is like the foundation stuff of what I'm going to say. So in his book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer asks some pointed questions. The first being, so here's your first question for your journal, should you wish to do this. Who are you following? Who are you following? Everyone is following somebody or something. Or to put it another way, we're all disciples of someone or something. Who are you following? John Mark Comer goes on to say, the question isn't, am I a disciple? It's who or what am I a disciple of? So that's the next question for us to consider as a church. Who or what am I a disciple of? New York Times columnist Tish Warren writes this. None of us come to what we believe by ourselves. The world has no free thinkers. None of us come to what we believe by ourselves. The world has no free thinkers. Let's just ponder on this a little bit. We are all influenced, shaped, and formed by our families of origin, teachers, by the families we might marry into, by our friendships, by our work environments. We are all influenced and formed by what we see on TV, by social media, news, ad campaigns, politicians, marketing departments, scientific advances, and not all of these are negative, I know that, but we are influenced by these things. The world is constantly forming us. So here's another question for us. What is the world forming us into? What's the world forming you into? You see, we are becoming something. Right up until the day we die, we are becoming something. And therefore, perhaps a key question is, who or what am I becoming? John Mark Comer writes, if we are not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it is highly likely we are being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. Now, over the course of this series, we've been considering afresh apprenticing ourselves to Jesus and what it means to follow his way and not ours. And it's in considering what it means to follow his way that we see the cost of discipleship, the cost of apprenticing. And discipleship is costly. And in one sense, we shouldn't be surprised by that. We follow a crucified Jesus. But often we are. And we know it's costly because Jesus models that it's costly, but also because he tells us so. Matthew 16, 24 to 26 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? Take up your cross, put to death your way, and follow me. Why? For only in following his way, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the creator and sustainer of all things, only in following his way is there life and freedom and hope and peace. Only in following his way can we be assured and know our identity, healing, purpose, and love beyond anything we've ever experienced before. Now, for most of us sat here today, take up your cross and giving up our lives for Jesus isn't literal. We will not face death because we are following Jesus. It's a metaphor. For in some parts of the world, we know it is. We have brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, and we know that it is. But for most of us in this room, that's not going to be the case. It's a metaphor for intentionally deciding to die to self and to put our self-will to death. Another word for it, and one that we've seen consistently come up in our talk series, is surrender. It's in surrendering ourselves that we put the things of the self to death. Surrender is not a popular word in our society, and oftentimes not in the church either. We like to be masters of our own destiny. We like to be in control. We like making our own choices. We like following our own way. But when apprenticing under Jesus, we are called to follow his way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. We're called to follow his way. Do as he says and do as he does. Surrender for our stubborn wills is an intentional decision on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis. Surrender is a lifelong process. We know it's a lifelong process of putting our death, putting to death our self-will. Now, the Apostle Paul puts it really clearly in Galatians 2:20. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I really like the Message version of those verses and the one before it, verse 19, as it captures some of the nuances of surrender. I'd like to read that to you, or we can read it together. So let's read Galatians 2. I will read it to you. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping the rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that. I don't know about you, but if I could get halfway close to that kind of surrender, my life would be quite different, I think. Now, closely linked to surrender, and is even less popular in our modern world, is obedience. The idea of being obedient to Jesus is not new. Jesus himself, in the Great Commission, just before he was taken up to heaven, said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Surrender and obedience are at the heart of discipleship. We surrender and obey as a love response to Jesus for all that he's done for us, for all that he has won for us, for all that is ours as the beloved, and for all that he promises is to come. And here's the upside-downness of the kingdom when we think about surrender and obedience. And I'm going back to Matthew 16, 25. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. It's in dying that we live. It's in losing our false self, parts of our sinful nature, that we discover our authentic self, the self that he created us to be. And Comer says this, "It's in giving up our desires that our deepest desires are finally sated." So here's another question for your reflective journal. What needs to go? As we surrender and obey, as we follow Jesus, as we become like him, as we do as he did, what needs to go? What needs to be surrendered? Might it be hurry and busyness? Is it broken dreams? Is it control? Worry about work? Worry about elderly parents? Is it a difficult situation our kids are going through? Is it addictions, unhealthy life choices, food, alcohol, porn? Is it health issues, pride, arrogance, fear, insecurity, mistakes, the relentless pursuit of success? Is it our diaries? And they were just a few things I bashed out as I was typing. Now, let me clarify here. Situations like an issue at work, or a health issue, or worry about elderly parents or our kids, it's not that these things are unimportant or in some way wrong and should be put to death. It's because they are so important that we need to surrender them. Because they're too heavy for us. They're too heavy for us. And the worry and the anxiety and the fear that these situations cause, it's those things that can be put to death. It's those things that can be surrendered and we can be released from. And we can experience freedom and peace and hope when we surrender again and again, oftentimes, these situations and relationships to Jesus. So when considering surrender, perhaps a better way to phrase the question might be, how free do I want to be? How free do I want to be? How hopeful, how peace-filled, how satisfied, how purposeful, how secure do I want to be? Now, I want to take a moment to mention slowing down. Ollie, in one of his talks, said that, quoted Dallas Willard as saying this, "Hurry and busyness are the great enemy of the soul." If we don't slow down long enough to be with Jesus, none of this surrendering will happen because we won't be still enough to be aware of what needs to go. And it might just be that in the busyness and the hurriedness and the not slowing down that we miss Jesus. In his book, 3 Mile an Hour God, Japanese theologian Kosuke Koyama wrote this: God walks slowly because he is love. Love takes investment and time. God walks slowly because he is love. The 3 mile an hour God invites us in the direction of depth rather than distance. So it's not about, brothers and sisters, running the race so quickly to get the, it's almost like the destination is not the most important bit. The destination is important. We're going to heaven. It is important. But the journey, the spending time with Jesus, the depth, that's the important bit. Knowing Jesus is the important bit. Jesus, our 3 mile an hour God, is interested in depth of relationship with us, not superficial stuff. It's depth. Let's not miss Jesus. Let's not miss out on life that he has for us and wants to do with us because busyness and hurry have stolen that away. And as we walk out our spiritual journey, our discipleship to Jesus, here's a true fact, I think we will mess up. Let's just put it out there. We will mess up. We're going to get it wrong. We're going to mess up, okay? Finnish Orthodox writer Tito Colliander told a story about a monk who was once asked, "What do you do there in the monastery?" And the monk replied, "We fall and get up. We fall and get up. We fall and get up again." Now, I don't know about you, but I find that immensely reassuring and strangely comforting. Perhaps because falling and getting up seems to be a pattern of my spiritual life. And maybe I'm not alone in that. We will mess up. Daily, sometimes hourly. This doesn't make us bad disciples. Let's just get rid of that. We are human. We will fall. We will stumble. We will sometimes lose our way. And what then? Well, by the grace of God, we lean into his mercy. We trust in his goodness and his faithfulness because that's who he is. He is good. He is faithful. That's who he is. And we ask for his help to get back up. And we begin again. We fall and get up. Fall and get up. Fall and get up again. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help. Father God knew we'd need a helper. Jesus said in John 14 that he would send another helper. That word another means one of the same kind. God, the Holy Spirit, to help us. Tom Wright says, Jesus has promised to send his own spirit, his own breath, his own inner life. the Spirit of Jesus to help us. And we know the promise is that he lives within us. His home, his abode, his residing place is in us. God, the Holy Spirit, God lives in us. We're not left alone. He lives in us. And so we are empowered and strengthened and helped day by day, decision by decision, to apprentice under Jesus. Apprenticing under Jesus is an intentional decision. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. I want to be an apprentice. Bing! It doesn't just happen. It's intentional. Moment by moment, decision by decision, difficult situation by difficult situation, joy by joy. Walking through the dark shadow of death and disappointment and living through the wonderful times. It's a moment by moment, intentional decision. It doesn't just happen. It takes effort. And if we've been told that it all just happens, then I'm sorry, that's wrong. It doesn't. Living a life as an apprentice of Jesus is costly and it takes time and effort. But oh my goodness, the joy, the satisfaction, the freedom, the hope, the purpose that comes with it is amazing. And when we get it wrong, brothers and sisters, we get back up and we intentionally choose again to live our lives as a love response to the beauty, the wonder, the majesty, and the outrageous love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who died for us first, who loved us first.